Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Worship the one who does wonders.
God brings joy, light, and wisdom.
Look to Christ who brings grace to our lives.
Jesus offers healing for our lives.
Embrace the Spirit who brings gentleness and peace. Let us worship our great God. Well, we'll join together there. If you want to turn in your hymn book, it's hymn number 73, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. This is My Father's World, all three verses this morning. This is my Father. Join together there for our opening prayer. Wise God, you created our minds to grow in wisdom. You created our hearts to expand in love. You created our voices to sing your praises. Bless us with your presence so we may worship you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're just going to take a few moments this morning to honor our fathers. And so we want to do that. Now, I told you last week that I had some dad jokes. So I'm going to share a few of those with you. And you just got to remember, these are just dad jokes, okay? Here we go. How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on him. How do you catch a tame rabbit? Tame way, unique up on him. How do crazy people go through the forest? They take the psychopath. What lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? A nervous wreck. What's the difference between roast beef and pea soup? Anyone can roast beef. Where do you find a dog with no legs? Right where you left him. Oh, that's about half of them. I'll just stop right there. Those are great. I've met a few guys that dads that just get the biggest kick out of those kind of jokes and sharing those jokes. And they'll even call them dad jokes. But yeah. So we think about our fathers today and our grandfathers and our great grandfathers and the influence, depending on if you got to meet. I never got to meet either one of my great grandfathers. I did get to meet my one grandfather who had a great impact on me as a kid. Some of my fondest memories as a kid was on the farm with Grandpa. And some of the things he let me do, nobody would allow their kids or grandkids to do that today. And I remember riding in the chopper wagon when Grandpa was chopping hay. And you know, it's got the spout coming up, blowing the hay into the wagon. And I remember Grandpa saying, "Watch out for that spout." Because when he turned, you know, you'd have to duck down because it would go over you. And just great memories of things on the farm and then things with my dad and a lot of wisdom that they gave along the way. And so that's a blessing. And I'm sure that's true for many of you here today. I'm sure you could share stories. And then we think about so many of us today whose our fathers and grandfathers are no longer with us. And we remember them today. And but thank you to each one of our fathers that are here today. I know you don't like to do this. I do that with the mothers, but I'm going to have all of our fathers and grandfathers to stand, if you would, for a moment. And come on, stand up. Yeah. Yeah. We got some young'uns and we got some old'uns. And we are so glad that you're here today, and we want to extend God's blessing to you. And so let me pray here real quick. Gracious God, we thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father and that you love us so dearly. And we thank you for each one of our fathers and grandfathers that are here today. Some of them are great-grandfathers, and there might be one or so that's even a great-great-grandfather. We just ask your blessing upon them. Give them strength and grace for each day. And thank you for the blessing that they've been in our lives and in our church. As we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And I'm going to invite our kids this morning, if they would come down. They're ready to go. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on. I see that. Is Elizabeth going to come down? Lizzie. I'm missing you. That's okay. She doesn't want to. That's all. So, okay. When you see somebody, let me see if I can get it right here. When you see somebody do this, what does this stand for?
A heart.
A heart, yes. A heart. Or sometimes people do this to say, "I love you." You know, they can do that. Because we usually think of our hearts as, you know, with love. But what else does our hearts do? Huh? There you go. Keeps us alive. I thought you were going to say pump blood. Yes, yes, yes. Pump blood, yeah. What else does our hearts do? When someone says, "They broke my heart," what do you think they're talking about? Huh? Okay, sad, yeah, maybe sad, yes, very true. So, and I think that's why you guys are sharing these, is almost every one of you, when we talk about the heart, except keeping us alive and pumping blood and all of that, is we
what? In the Bible, our hearts do not stand for our feelings. Our heart stands for our minds and our thinking. And so when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, he means make a decision to love God with everything you have in you, with your entire being. And when we make that decision to do that, God will be with us and bless us and help us to make wise decisions. You know, we talked a little bit about wisdom and being wise over the last couple Sundays. But why? Why is it that we kind of have to protect our heart, protect our minds, and all of that? Because there's a lot of things out there that tell us a lot of things. Oh, you're short. Your hair looks white. You're wearing glasses. Guess what? I got contacts. So, yeah. Or, you look funny. And you know what? Sometimes when people or classmates or friends tell us those kind of things, it kind of hurts, doesn't it? And so we got to kind of protect our hearts. Got to protect our minds. Because God loves us. We've got to keep reminding us that God loves us and God made us just the way we are. So we've been made for a special purpose. And when we do that, when we keep protecting our hearts, then you know what happens? God's wisdom that helps us to have skills in life and make good decisions flows through us. And the one thing that's so cool about God is sometimes when our heart gets broken, he's able to heal it and make us feel better. And that's a good thing. It's almost like when mom or dad or grandma gives us a hug and tells us they love us. Don't we feel better usually after that?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And God does the same thing for each of us. All right. You guys, I believe, are going downstairs this morning.
And as they're heading down, we want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And as we do that, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Yes.
I got a joy. Yesterday was Relay for Life. We had great weather.
Yes.
And when they announced the final total, as of not counting whatever people raised last night, but the total that was raised so far is over $63,000.
There we go. $63,000 in Miami County. So what a blessing. I have a few pictures, and I'm hoping I was running into a little trouble getting them transferred over to the PowerPoint, but I'm hoping I'll have a couple of those pictures from Relay for next Sunday to show up on the PowerPoint. But yes, wonderful. Jody and I went out to the luminary ceremony last night at 9 o'clock, and that was kind of a blessing time too. So somebody else, I thought, yeah.
I've got two. One, Trevor signed himself out of the hospital, even though he's really at the end of his life, and he told them he wanted to pull at least one more time, and he won. And I praise God for taking care of Barney and I last night. We went from here to Osiris about 40 miles an hour in a semi transmission or electronics was going haywire. And he got us home, even though it would stop at intermittent times. And I just thank God for that.
I'm glad about that. And by the way, I don't remember who, but I know Barney was tagged in it on Facebook. I got to see the video of Trevor winning that. I didn't hear the final announcement, but the video I watched, he had had the highest or the farthest pull of that time. So
his preacher come all the way to Red Key to dinner.
Wow. Yeah. So there was some competition there, wasn't there?
Yeah, all the competition. He won it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And
so
preacher, you need to go back and click on the preacher, that's what he
says. Okay. Okay, yeah, I'll check that out. Somebody else, joys or concerns, yes?
My cousin is in hospice, and he's passed away. His name's Stacy Smallenbarger.
What was the last?
Smallenbarger. Yeah.
So we want to remember that family, and in our prayers today, yes. Somebody else, yeah. Well, we got several back there. Go ahead. Yeah. You're good.
Where's my sister, Joyce Brown? She has brain cancer.
Who is it?
Joyce
Brown, my sister. Yes. And we've been praying for her for several weeks now, or longer. Yeah. And definitely want to lift up Joyce and keep her in our prayers. And then, okay, so let me see if I got this. So the first person, was that Dennis? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay, for Dennis with a broken hip and then cancer. Ellen has this unspoken. And Elaine, I didn't hear all what was going on.
Her daughter, Serena, her brain rot, had an accident. It totaled the car, but she walked away from it.
Okay, thank God for Serena making that walking away. We thank God for that. Jody, I heard she made a trip to Indiana yesterday, but is still kind of, but we're glad to see her this morning. And after having a kidney stone blasted, and so Bonnie and Bev, and I'm going to add Jody's sister Jill into that mix because all three of them are waiting on test results then to come back. And so we want to lift all of them up. Yeah.
I'm just glad to see Gene and Carol here in church.
Yes. We're glad to see them too.
Pastor Warren at First Church.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me about that. Yes. Pastor Lauren from First Church in Troy is going in for surgery tomorrow. Is it knee or hip? Hip. That's what I thought. And having hip replacement surgery. And she has recruited me. I'm going to be doing about a month of care if there's any funerals or anything like that. There's two others on standby, but definitely want to keep Lauren in our prayers as she goes through that surgery. And I saw another hand. Yeah, go ahead.
My brother has been told by hospice that he's in his final days.
Okay. And help me with his first name.
Dale,
okay. So we want to remember Dale and the family and, and for hospice and care there and his final days, definitely want to do that, yeah.
I have three.
Okay, yeah. So we want to remember the unspoken, two of those this morning. Any others, yep. Well, good.
She's usually in pain.
Yes, to retire and not to experience that. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we can pray for Kara for wisdom. And I saw another hand. Yes.
I think that we should thank God for the rain we've been getting.
Yes. Yes, we have. Yeah, that was a blessing. I've been hearing anywhere between 4 and 7 inches around the area. And so we are very thankful for that rain we've gotten. And that's something we did pray about. Yep, go ahead. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you for mentioning her. Some of you may not know Kira Cole. She was a sophomore. She's going to be a junior. She was the state female wrestling champion. And she was in a competition, a national competition out in Oklahoma. And she broke a vertebrae in her neck and something else. Very serious. They rushed her to the emergency and then they had to do emergency surgery. Has anybody, and I kind of was wondering, has anybody heard any update on her? I want to try to find out more about her. I had her in class many times. And thank you for mentioning that, Tyler. We appreciate that because I almost forgot about her until you mentioned it. So I did forget her. So. And she definitely needs healing and God's blessing there, so for sure. Somebody else, yeah.
The Dave Carter family, his funeral was yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear that he had passed.
Yeah, his camp had come back the third time.
So Dave, so the air conditioning, all that, he did all the electrical wiring to put in the new electrical wiring to do to put in this and pretty much donated his man hours on that. And we appreciated that. A good friend of Tom's and around this area was an electrician. Someone else. Anybody else? Yeah.
And also my brother Roger.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we definitely want to lift up Roger. I've seen some folks that have had those UTIs and they've gotten really bad and they can be tough. So anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Lots. Man, my whole page is full of names and people to pray for today. Definitely, as some of those names come to your mind while she plays, please just mention them out to the Lord there in your seats, and then I'll come and close us out then.
Thank you.
Lord, we are thankful for your faithfulness as Carla was just playing. We're thankful that your mercies are new every morning and your grace is so wonderful. And we just ask, Lord, as we think about all the names that have been mentioned today, that your hand would be extended to each one of these, Lord. Lord, we pray for Joyce this morning with brain cancer, for Dennis with his broken hip and cancer, for Bonnie, Bev, and Jill that are waiting on test results, God. Lauren, who's having hip surgery, and the Dale and the family there with for hospice and the end of life that's going on there. Lord, we think about the Smallenberger family also with this loved one with hospice, God. And for Trevor, God, Lord, thank you that he was able to be able to do that one thing that he loved again. And Lord, for Kara this morning, for wisdom, and the Carter family with the loss of this loved one, God, and for Roger with this UTI, Lord, we just pray for, and for Kira this morning, God, with that broken vertebrae and something else, I just can't remember, Lord, but you know what it is. God, we just pray for your healing touch and miracle touch. And Lord, we just lift up every one of these today. Lord, God, we just ask for your hand of healing and strength and touch and recovery, Lord. Thank you for bringing Jody through the situation with the kidney stone and continue to give her strength. And Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs that have been mentioned today, Lord, that you would minister and touch every one of them. Lord, we just pray for each one today. And maybe there were some names that were mentioned by those praying today or something that was weighing on their heart. God, we just ask as we join together and ask that you would work and move as only you can do by your grace and your love, and extend your hand, send your angels, Lord, whatever you need to do, Lord. We just ask today for miracles and answers and blessings and guidance today. And Lord, we continue to lift up all of those on our monthly list that we pray for every Sunday, Lord, and so many pray for during the week, Lord, and through the month, Lord. God, we just lift them up to you and ask for your healing touch and grace and guidance and wisdom for all of them. And we thank you for all of these things today. And we're thankful that we can gather as the people of faith. And no matter what we're facing in life, that we can know that you are with us and that you love us and that you care about us and that you call us to watch and guard our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would extend your blessing upon the rest of this service as we break the bread of your word and we talk about our hearts today and the two paths, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts and bring healing, Lord. I pray for those that maybe need healing in their hearts today. Whatever's going on, it just could just be the situations and circumstances of life that has just worn them down and broken their hearts at times. God, we just pray for your healing grace and touch. The balm of Gilead would be extended into this place this morning for each one as we ask it all now in the mighty name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Thank you for praying with us today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, as I say every Sunday, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. And it's through your generosity that the church continues here locally and through this body and continues to be a blessing in our world and community. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts, that they may be used for the work you have set before us. For we place our work in your hands. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 10 through 27 there, if you'd like to follow along on the PowerPoint there this morning. My children, listen and grasp what I say. Then you will have a long life. I'm guiding you in the way of wisdom and leading you on the straight path. Nothing will hold you back. You will not be overwhelmed. Always remember what you have been taught and don't let go of it. Keep all that you have learned. It is the most important thing in life. Don't follow the ways of the faithless. Don't do what unethical people do. Avoid their ways and don't follow them. Stay away from them and keep on going. Because they cannot sleep until they do wrong. They cannot rest until they harm someone. They feast on the bread of faithlessness and drink the wine of violence. The way of the faithful is like the light of dawn, growing brighter and brighter until full daylight. But the way of the faithless is darkness. They can't even see what makes them stumble. My children, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to what I say. Don't ever forget my words. Keep them always in your heart. They are life to those who find them. They bring health to the whole body. Most of all, watch over your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. Keep abusive language far from your mouth. Keep corruption far from your lips. Keep your eyes focused in front of you. And always look straight ahead. Be confident of the road you take. But stay clear of precarious pathways. Turn neither right nor left. And guard your feet from evil. This is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, during a Sunday school class, they were teaching the children how that God had created everything, including human beings. And little Johnny seemed especially intent when his teacher told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, Johnny's mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill. And she said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" And little Johnny said, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." I want to talk to you this morning as we continue in our series, The Heart, The Pathway for Wisdom. So as we continue our series, I want to remind you of a few things. In our first message, we defined wisdom as the skill needed in facing the complexities and realities of life. Last week, we focused on wisdom as a lifelong path and process of daily practices that help lay a foundation in our hearts and minds for making wise decisions. And this morning, I'm going to go a little further to talk about that, why it was so important that we do those daily practices to lay a foundation in our hearts and minds by talking this morning about how our hearts are the key to staying on the path of wisdom and enjoying life. So let's look at that a little bit this morning. And we're going to begin by talking about right and wrong pathways. Right and wrong pathways. So throughout this reading, our reading this morning, the poet, the wise teacher, lets us know that there's always right and wrong pathways in life. And that shouldn't surprise us, because life is a series of choices, isn't it? If you think about it, we're always making choices every day. As soon as we get up in the morning, we're making choices. And all of those choices have a tendency to direct our day and how we're going, how that day is going to be. And Proverbs, when you read through the whole book, Proverbs usually paints choices as black and white. But we know that sometimes life is more complex and messier than that. And that's why, as I shared way back at the very first message, why we need wisdom. Because wisdom is what helps us when we are going through the messy times in life. How do we decide what road to take in the midst when, well, both of them look kind of good? Which way do I go? How do I know which way to go? Which one do I avoid? And so forth. So just to keep it simple and do the contrast there, I'm just going to have us look at it this way. First of all, one path is the life-giving way. The life-giving way. Or in some of our translation, it talks about the straight path, or the wise path, or the upright path there. And Proverbs tells us the way of wisdom is like this. Listen to these adjectives for a moment. The way of wisdom is steady, alert, straight, full of light, full of joy, and life-giving. In fact, you could almost say that the path of wisdom is likened to a parent. A parent who takes us by the hand and leads us and guides us and informs us and provides wisdom, guidance, skill, so that we can have a successful life. Now, obviously, we can think of our parents, can't we? Or our grandparents, or maybe a teacher, or a pastor that we loved, or a Sunday school teacher that we loved, or whoever that may be. And because I think God uses all of those kind of people in our lives to help plant things into us as we grew up and as we continue on our journey together. And because it's a never, as we saw last week, it's a lifelong process of gaining wisdom. Now, the second path, or the alternative path, is what I have termed the broken way. The broken way. Or if we look at one of the Hebrew words there, we might call it the corrupt way. Proverbs tells us the corrupt way is, now again, listen to the alternative adjectives here. The corrupt way is unsteady, harmful, addictive. And I use that term for a reason. Did you catch in the middle of our reading where it says that they cannot sleep until they can do wrong or hurt somebody? Wow, that kind of hit me when I was reading that this week, and I was like, wow. Full of darkness and violence. And notice what the wise teacher tells us there. The wise shun or veer away from the broken way, because on its path, it only causes harm and in a sense feeds its own destruction. Feeds its own destruction. Now, those are pretty clear, blunt pathways, isn't it? And we all face times where we see those pathways. I'm sure there's been times when many times we've chosen the wise path. And I bet you there's been times when we've even gone down the other path in our lives. Probably when we were teenagers or college students or whatever you want to say. I mean, it just depends on where you were and what you faced in life. Some of you may have experienced that before you came to Christ. Just all kinds of different ways. But we see how clear that is. So how do we have wisdom in all of that? And what's going to help us to be on the right path? Well, here's the key that I want you to see this morning. If you don't get anything else, get this. Oh, what'd I do? Ah, come on, Lord. This is not the time for this to break down. There it goes. Woo, woo. Phew. Scared me for a minute. The most important point of the whole thing. Our hearts determine our paths. You know, when I was in Bible college and even in youth group, I remember our youth pastor trying to teach us this. You know how you are as a teenager. You know, you're half paying attention or you think, well, yeah, okay, yeah, I might agree with that, but, you know, and everything like that. And, but boy, as I was working on this week, I was like, all these thoughts started coming back. I was like, yeah, I was taught all this. You know, did I always listen or didn't I? You know, and it's part of lives here. Notice what the poet says. Keep your hearts with all diligence or vigilance, I think our reading was, for from it flows the springs of life. What's it saying there? It is literally saying that life and the life paths we take flow from our heart. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying our hearts shape everything about us. That's what I'm saying. How we think, How we see, how we perceive things, how we feel, how we speak, how we act. Because the heart is the source of life. Not only life, but we could say healing. Because there's various places where the poet says that if you hold on to these things I've taught you and put them in your heart, that it'll bring healing to your body and to your bones and your flesh. I mean, there's just all different ways that it's described. Now, here's the thing I want you to see that I shared with the kids. Oftentimes, we think of our hearts as our emotions and our feelings. That may be in there, but here's the thing I want you to see. In biblical thinking, the heart is the place from which we believe, decide, and determine things in our lives. You might say it's like our thoughts, our mind, our will, where we make decisions. And that's why the sage reminds us once again to guard our hearts, to protect our hearts. Because they, or the heart, determines our path. So if that's true, then what can we do to help us guard it and to help us make sure our heart stays in the right way, so to speak? And here's what I want to say about that, and that's this: aligning our hearts with God and God's love will lead us to wisdom and life. Now, to wisdom and life. Now, that doesn't mean life will be perfect. That doesn't mean we won't have problems, because that's why we need wisdom in life. It's just part of it. But what I want you to see here is that when we align our lives, our hearts, our minds, our will with God's and God's love, I think we'll see a big difference. The path or course of our lives are based on what our hearts love. Jesus said it this way: where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. Okay, now I'm going to step on toes this morning, and I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty of life where we live. Okay. So let me give you some examples. If money is the ultimate love in our lives, then all the choices we make in life will be about money. How we choose our jobs, how we do that, do this, don't do that, don't do that. And it can also get to the point, if we're not careful, where we extend ourselves to the extreme because we want to make sure we live a certain way in life and convey that. And it could get to the point, and we see stories of that all the time in the news and everywhere else, is that people, they're so much in love and so obsessed about money and wealth and all of that, that they exploit people, they step on people to get what they want. Now, I'm not saying any of us here are like that. I'm using an extreme case, and I want you to know that. Because there's nothing wrong with working hard, making a living, and providing for your families and your grandkids and all of that. Don't get me wrong. But it has to do with what we love the most and what's number one. Here's another example. If romance or marriage is the ultimate love in our lives, then they will determine. Now, let me give you an example. So when I was in college, there were girls and guys. I don't want to just say girls. There were guys. They were obsessed with that. That's all. And so we used to call it, we're at bridal college. There was a joke that used to go around. We went to bridal college because that's why they went there to find their spouse. Now, I have family members. I have loved ones. I have people that met in college, fell in love, and married, and everything's been great. So don't get me wrong. But then all of that, if that's everything to you, then it'll affect how you choose mates, or a mate, sorry, how emotionally dependent or controlling we are in relationships. If we're not careful, our decisions could undermine our marriage or our relationships. Here's another one. If your children are the ultimate love of your lives, God knows God calls us to love our kids and to love them and take care of them and protect them and everything. But if they're number one, then you know what will happen? Your choices will all be about that. And the question is can we start to control them? Can we start to overcorrect them or not correct them because of that obsession? And if we're not careful, we could mess up our decisions could mess up our relationship with them, or just mess them up. I've seen situations. If work is the ultimate love, I'll stop there. You get the point, what I'm saying. What am I saying? Here's what I want you to hear. When God and God's love is the ultimate thing in our hearts and lives first, more than money, more than romance, marriage, children, work, etc., you can add whatever you want to in there. When God comes first, here's what I want you to see. Then wisdom will flow from our hearts to help us make wise choices financially, wise choices regarding our spouse and our marriage, wise choices regarding our children, wise choices regarding work or whatever else you want to say. Can you see the difference? It's like the old preachers used to say, God's got to be number one. God's got to be number one. That is kind of what we're seeing here. And Jesus addressed the heart when he says, if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. I always wrestled a little bit with the way that was said. And Jesus said it in a variety of ways. It's interesting that all four Gospels tell us that teaching of Jesus in a variety of different ways on how he said that. Because my question is, well, how do we give up our lives? By giving our lives, or the old statement, giving our hearts to Jesus or to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's something going on there because Jesus knows how to heal our hearts. Jesus knows how to bring wisdom and allow love to flow when we allow him to heal our hearts. As I talked about last week, this is a lifelong process of transformation and guarding our hearts so we may grow in faith and love and hope and wisdom, or in what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your whole being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Notice, I'm going to leave you with this. Notice what the wise poet says. The way of the just or the righteous is like morning light that gets brighter and brighter till it's full day. You know what I think that is? I think that's just growing in the process of life and allowing him to heal our hearts and bring wisdom. Because we all know, you 20 years down the road, your heart can be broken. It doesn't just get broken by a teenage girl when you're 14 or boy. but it just, all kinds of things can happen. And we got to protect that and allow him to guard so that we can grow, so that through the course of one's life, wisdom can shine more and more in our lives. And there can be purpose and intent. Guard your hearts. They are the pathway for wisdom. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment or two, and you can shake a couple hands, and then we'll go right in and close out with our chorus, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength," this morning. Mom, go down to help with the cookies.
Oh, great.
Battle then, wasn't it? All right. Go ahead and start playing there. "21, if you'd like to use the hymn book this morning, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." There's four verses, but we sing through it pretty quick this morning. See if you remember this one. "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." Now you know how it goes. Let's sing it. If you want joy, you must praise for it. If you want joy, you must praise for it. If you want joy, you must praise for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He giveth living water, and I thirst no more. He giveth living water, and I thirst no more. He giveth living water, and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He heals the brokenhearted, and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted, and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted, and they cry no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. God sends us with joy and wisdom. May the glory of God transform us. May the strength of Christ embrace us. May the Holy Spirit revive us. Go in peace. Amen.